A wonderful Wednesday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. A little over a year since the 2020 draft, the Memphis Grizzlies truly are benefiting from what, in my opinion, was the best draft haul from that draft. Not only how that draft class is helping the Grizzlies when they need it most on the court, but how the play of Desmond Bain, Xavier Tillman, and Killian Tilly right now could impact roster decisions in the short and long-term future. Plus a preview of the Grizzlies game tonight against the Portland Trailblazers out on the West Coast. That and much more on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Let's go!
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be with you. My name's Sean Coleman, credentialed media member with the Grizzlies, have been hosting the Locked On Grizzlies podcast now for nearly 2 years, covering the Grizzlies for over 4 years, right for them over the Grizzly Bear Blues, and of course, your host here at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day. Make sure you check out the podcast, free on all platforms, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app. Wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, that's where we'll be. And listen, review, and subscribe. Let's us know how much you enjoy the show. We always want to provide content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. And, of course, right here on YouTube, my name's Sean Coleman. Find me at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz. And here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button below. Let's us know you enjoy the show, helps others be able to find the show, and just makes the show overall the best experience it can be for everyone. Also want to remind you of our title sponsor for today's show, which is Truebill. Are you tired of those free ads? I know it's Christmas time. We want to check out a lot of different products, and free ads are the awesome way to be able to do it. But unfortunately, those free ads lead to unwanted costs. Truebill is a great way to manage your subscriptions without you having to run into the hassle of unwanted costs. Check out Truebill.com today. So the Memphis Grizzlies obviously have been on an outstanding run as of late. Now 7-1 without Ja Morant. And the thing about it is that the Grizzlies have been able to do it once again, as I mentioned yesterday, basically through a three-step process. Through the trio of Dillon, Jaren, and Desmond, two of those three players leading the offense, the Grizzlies' defense playing like a top-five defense and turning defense into offense, and then the depth of the Grizzlies, not only contributing as far as being a positive impact off the bench, but being two-way, but being impactful not only on offense, but also on defense. And three big reasons why the Grizzlies' depth is certainly stepping up and delivering right now are the Grizzlies' three pickups from the 2020 draft class. Desmond Bain, Killian Tilly, Xavier Tillman, as well as Killian Tilly. Now listen, we've talked about Desmond Bain quite a bit, and for good reason. He truly is someone that is clearly in the most improved conversation. One of the players who truly has emerged as being in the conversation, not only in terms of most improved player, but one of the more improved offensive players in the NBA this year. He certainly stands out among many of his second-year peers. His overall improvement as a scorer, as a defender, as a three-level resourceful scorer has stood out, and every bit of it has been needed to complement Ja Morant when the offense was what was leading the Grizzlies earlier this year, but also stepping up as a go-to scorer in the absence of Ja Morant, supported by the Grizzlies defense. So it goes without saying, Desmond Bain arguably is the biggest steal of the 2020 draft, and the Grizzlies consistently benefit from that night in and night out. But it's not just Desmond Bain right now that is stepping up from that draft class. With Brandon Clark out, with Steven Adams having, you know, been sore, and he's missed a couple of games or stretches of games, Jaren Jackson Jr. has been sore as well. You've also seen Kyle Anderson, who's missed. Xavier Tillman, who has been out of the rotation for much of the year, has stepped up once again, and over the past 2 weeks, reminded many of just how valuable of a player he can be. Now, his overall scoring rates, his overall counting statistic rates are not where they were last year. You're not getting as much clear, you know, eye-opening play from Xavier Tillman in terms of his shooting, in terms of his passing. Overall, he certainly has taken a bit of a step back in terms of the production of his counting statistics. But with each and every game that he plays, we get a reminder once again of the main thing that stands out about Xavier Tillman is the consistent source of positive value that he is. He very rarely makes a play of negative value. His intelligence, his team defense, his ability to guard on the perimeter as well as in the paint, the ability to be able to cause deflection, steals, and also an improved awareness of how to be a scorer inside, I feel, that has certainly stepped up about his game. And he's been someone who now, going from not being in the rotation to having 20 minutes or so a night, he's been someone that Taylor Jenkins has the ability to with comfort put in different lineups and know that Xavier Tillman will be able to perform. But it also is not just Tillman, who is a big, is really stepping up in the absence of Brandon Clark and in support of Jaren Jackson and Steven Adams. Killian Tilly also now is getting 15 to 20 minutes a night. You've really seen Killian Tilly step up in that role that, you know, Zaire Williams, you know, played 15 to 18 minutes a game, you know, to start the season. And Santi Aldama got a bit of a run for a few games in that role. Now Killian Tilly is getting that 15 to 18 minute a night opportunity, playing the four or the five on the perimeter, being a shooting option that Taylor Jenkins really enjoys having. Again, as we mentioned, the evolution of this Grizzlies roster in Taylor Jenkins' mind is on offense, being able to have all five positions both shoot, pass, and just overall have a lot of versatility offensively. Killian Tilly is someone that can offer that. And Killian Tilly is someone that is reminding us right now that in the 2020 draft class, when he was being looked at by teams as a draft pick, it never was a question of Killian Tilly's talent. Killian Tilly, arguably talent-wise, was a top 20 player in last year's draft. Many draft pundits, whether it be Twitter draft sources or just in general, you know, national draft sources, they all discussed that the talent of Killian Tilly was never in question. It was the availability of Killian Tilly due to many injuries. And unfortunately, last year we saw that at times, you know, with lower leg injuries, and you know, Killian Tilly really couldn't get going until the end of the year. But when he got going last year, he showed some impressive play. Well, this year, he's showing that again. With Xavier Tillman, you've got the perimeter defense, the overall consistency of positive play, the passing, and things such as that. Those things across the board that Xavier Tillman can do. Well, with Killian Tilly, you may not have as good defense or you may not have as good at passing, but what stands out about Killian Tilly and what we're consistently seeing is that Killian Tilly is a good source of multiple threes on any given night off the bench, which is a great development for a team like the Grizzlies who need as many threes as possible. And of course, that plays to the preferences of Taylor Jenkins. But also, just like Xavier Tillman at times, we've seen that Killian Tilly, he has some pretty good defensive chops. Again, per 36 minutes aren't a true indication of how a player would perform, you know, in 36 actual minutes of the game. But per 36 minutes, Killian Tilly is averaging two blocks and two steals on basis this year. He's been impressive. He is a source, just like a lot of other Grizzlies players, he is a source of defensive activity that can lead to deflections, steals, turnovers, and stops. So Killian Tilly, I don't think, is ever going to be a true plus defender, but he is emerging as a reliable depth piece that meets the preferences of Taylor Jenkins. And that's the big thing that stands out about this 2020 draft class. The reason why the Grizzlies went after these three players, the reason why they put a preference on this trio, is because the skill sets of this trio, whether it be the shooting, the passing, the defensive ability, the overall ability to improve beyond what was expected of them at the NBA level, all of that meets the preferences of what this franchise front office holds high value in and what this coaching staff holds high value in. And it's paid off. And we're seeing that on the court, obviously, with how the depth certainly has played, how well these players have played, despite the fact that the Grizzlies have been without Brandon Clark and, you know, Zaire Williams and John Morant and others. They're stepping up in roles that they have not, in bigger roles than they've had throughout much of the season, and they're delivering on a night-in and night-out basis. And for that reason, I'm not saying that Desmond Bane is a top five player from the 2020 draft. You possibly can make that argument. But what I am saying is that the draft haul that the Grizzlies got from the 2020 draft, I truly think was the best in the NBA. And you're seeing it now. You're seeing the value of that more than ever, because the Grizzlies truly could have three pieces of their future. Desmond Bane as a core piece of their future as a starter, with Killian Tilly and Xavier Tillman as reserves. You could truly see these guys for years to come be contributing pieces to the Grizzlies as they continue to evolve into a sustainable winner. And the great thing about it is that not only have they been able to come to the Grizzlies system, where the Grizzlies, you know, very astute for getting these guys, but there are three examples of the of players that have come to the Grizzlies system and have developed into better versions of themselves than many expected this would be a year into their careers. So it's a great thing to see. And now it's been more needed than at any other time, with the roles that each of these three players are playing, that Bane, Tillman, and Tilly are playing, and also the success that they're having in contributing to the Grizzlies really being a surprise success once again so far this year. But the development and emergence and reliability of this trio not only is making a positive impact on the court, it also could impact some important roster decisions for the Grizzlies in the short and long term as we get into trade season here over the next few months. I'll discuss that in just a moment. But the thing that I want to tell you before we get into discussing trades, with tomorrow being December 15th, another thing I want to talk with you about is Stance. Stance is, since 2009, Stance Apparel represents a radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel with a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity. Stance brings an atypical aesthetic alongside some of the pop culture's hottest collaborators for the ultimate in stylish self-expression. Because everywhere, everything you wear should be a direct extension of you, of who you are and how you feel. But not only should the design stand out and be an indication of who you are, it also should make you feel comfortable and prideful to wear it. And the thing is that you could talk about comic book characters, you could talk about Major League Baseball players, NBA, tons of different designs, and you can find it all on Stance. Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in, that those who feel good do good. Go see for yourself. Register for an account at stance.com and get 15% off your first purchase. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to apply. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance. Of course, we can't thank you enough for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day, but make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast again. As I mentioned a few times, talked about it last week, about to talk about it now. Today is December 15th, the day when many more NBA talents could be eligible to be discussed in trades than previously could have. And as we've seen, it does seem like there's some rumblings that we could get a bit of an earlier start to this trade season than we normally would most years. It'll be very interesting to see. For all this latest news and rumors, check out the Locked On NBA podcast as your second listen of the day after you check out Locked On Grizzlies. So earlier today, speaking of, you know, how the Grizzlies' current success and how their roster could potentially, over the next few weeks and months, start to make the Grizzlies look at, you know, what makes sense as potentially being active during this trade deadline. I do feel, as I mentioned last week, that the Grizzlies' success so far this year certainly makes the timing right for the Grizzlies to start to truly be buyers when it comes to adding to this roster. I talked about in the offseason that it's the right player at the right price at the right time. Well, for the Grizzlies, obviously, the right player for the right price are certainly things that still need to be worked out, I would assume. I don't expect anything big, but when it comes to the right player at the right price, I do think that we are getting closer to the right time for the Grizzlies to truly start to identify the right player at the right price with how well this roster is performing. And again, Zach Kleiman talked about it in the offseason or the Grizz media days before the season started. There's going to be a sense of urgency. If this young team once again exceeds expectations and it has success like it is currently having, there's going to be a sense of urgency on the Grizzlies' end, no longer to sit here and just, you know, be patient, let things play out, make moves focused on the future. There's going to be a sense of urgency to really keep this thing going and support it with roster upgrades that not only can help the Grizzlies continue to win now, but also make it easy on them to be a sustainable winner moving forward. And that's what I believe, that's where we are in terms of what potential moves the Grizzlies can make. Now, yesterday, I threw out a trade idea. I threw out the idea of, you know, for instance, Kyle Anderson, Brandon Clark, Jarrett Culver, first and second round pick for Joe Harris and Nick Claxton. Those players from the Grizzlies going to the Nets, Joe Harris and Nick Claxton coming to the Grizzlies. It was not well received, and I understand why. It makes perfect sense. But the reason why I, for instance, threw that specific trade out there is because, again, we're talking about the right player at the right price, but we're getting an idea that right now is the right time to start being buyers and start to do what needs to be done to make value moves for this roster that can help support the young core that the Grizzlies have in place. I believe if you look at the Grizzlies roster right now, you can easily separate the 15 players on the Grizzlies roster into three groups. You've got your core four. You've got the foundation, the four pillars of the Grizzlies' future as of right now: Ja, Desmond, Dillon, and Jaren. Now, I'm not saying that none of those players could eventually be traded. They could in the right deal. But those players are players that you control for multiple years beyond this year. And obviously, those four players are the most impactful, most influential to the Grizzlies' success. So that's the foundation for the future. The other group is the players that the Grizzlies had the ability to control in terms of their, in terms of the Grizzlies, them playing for the Grizzlies past this year. There are seven players that the Grizzlies can keep on this roster that are more in supporting roles, that, are still young, still looking to develop, or the Grizzlies just simply have, a multiple-year contract with them. And though they may not necessarily be a part of the future, they don't have to do anything with them right now to get value out of them. Of course, this is talking about De'Anthony Melton, Brandon Clark, Xavier Tillman, Santi Aldama, Zaire Williams, Steven Adams, and John Contra. Those seven players, none of them I really expect to really emerge into being on the level of a Desmond, Dillon, Ja, and Jaren, but those are the supporting players. And again, each of those players are on multiple-year contracts where the Grizzlies are simply fine keeping them beyond this year to be a part of the rotation moving forward. But that leaves four players who the Grizzlies have on expiring contracts right now: Kyle Anderson, Tyus Jones, Sam Merrill, and Jarrett Culver. Now, when it comes to how well the Grizzlies are playing, there's no doubt that Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones are very solid contributors right now to the Grizzlies' success. That goes without saying. And if the Grizzlies continue to win, there should be value placed on, if the Grizzlies continue to win at the rate that they are, and Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones continue to play significant to solid roles in the Grizzlies' success, keeping the band together, making the most of this season, there certainly is value in that. That outcome, there's nothing negative about that. However, for me personally, just like in that trade suggestion that I mentioned yesterday, the overall general idea for me is that while the Grizzlies' continued success winning is very important, for me, I feel that it's just as important for the Grizzlies to make sure that they get value out of the veterans that they have in Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones, Kyle Anderson specifically. And the reason why is this, is because one thing that I don't think the Grizzlies can afford to do is let a player of Kyle Anderson's caliber and of his player profile, with how important that specific player profile is, a productive big wing who can help out on both ends of the court at times. I don't think the Grizzlies can afford to let a player like that just simply potentially walk in free agency and get no value out of them beyond this year. Now, I've discussed a Kyle Anderson extension in the past. I've talked about how extending Kyle Anderson could allow the Grizzlies to still have a veteran presence that could play on the wing or play in the post, what have you, that could be there to support Jaren and others moving forward. I think that Kyle Anderson on an extension could make sense. But there are other routes that the Grizzlies could go as well. And let's be honest, Kyle Anderson is not the same player that he was last year. He's not, playing like he did in the first half of last year. The shooting, while it has improved overall from where he was before last year, it's not to the level that it was last year. But Kyle Anderson is still a very solid and consistent contributor that could also do exactly that for teams that may be closer to contention than the Grizzlies could be. So if the Grizzlies were to decide that Kyle Anderson may not necessarily make sense for their future, I would potentially certainly look to see if the Grizzlies could take Kyle Anderson, maybe throw in a Jarrett Culver or a Sam Merrill or what have you, but take Kyle Anderson, take a piece from their supporting group of young players like maybe a Brandon Clark or, or a Tillman or a John Contra or something like that, and then perhaps take one of their first-round picks from this 2022 draft, put them together in a package, and see if that could lead to the Grizzlies getting a player of a similar profile to Anderson, a wing who can be productive on both ends of the court, but a player that the Grizzlies can control beyond this year. That, to me, would be something that fits the mold of the right player at the right price at the right time. Because at the end of the day, I do feel it's very important that the Grizzlies, in some way, shape, or form, extend the value that Kyle Anderson offers beyond this year. And I don't necessarily mean just by sending Kyle Anderson to a true contender for him to fit in their trade exception. Yes, that could be a last resort potentially, where maybe you could get a few seconds or a young player, an intriguing young player, and a second round pick. Maybe even get a first. I don't know if that's the best value, though, for Kyle Anderson. If the Grizzlies are winning and Kyle Anderson is contributing to that winning, I think that's just as important as simply selling him off for a rental. But to me, the more beneficial and more valuable route for the Grizzlies to go is to see what deals are out there, using Kyle Anderson as a base in a deal, and then potentially adding another young player who can be controlled for multiple years and a pick or two from their 2021 draft class. Because at the end of the day, over the next 7 months, Kyle Anderson, Tyus Jones, Jarrett Culver, and Sam Merrill, if you consider them points of value, but also the Grizzlies' 3 first-round picks, the value of those players to the Grizzlies, they themselves are going to expire in terms of their current form, in terms of their current value as assets, over the next 7 months. I feel that what the Grizzlies do to extract value out of a Kyle Anderson, a Tyus Jones, and those 3 draft picks, whether it's a mixture of extending 1 or 2 of Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones, the picks that they make in the draft, or trades that they potentially make using their 2022 draft assets and the expiring contracts of Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones, whatever decisions the Grizzlies make over the next 7 months, I think is going to be very important. Because with that combination of assets between Anderson and Jones' expiring contracts, the picks, and maybe 1 or 2 other pieces, you can find a significant value to trade for that can benefit the Grizzlies beyond this year while also upgrading the roster moving forward. You know, potentially I talked about a Joe Harris. He may not be the most ideal, you know, candidate, but what about a Harrison Barnes from Sacramento? What about a Jeremy Grant potentially? You know, if we want to go bigger, what about a Pascal Siakam? I don't know if any of those deals are possible, but it's certainly worth having the discussions while the Grizzlies have expiring contracts in Anderson and Jones, but also assets in the 2022 draft. So the timing for a significant move for the Grizzlies to make, not an all-in move, but at the very least a move that will allow for the Grizzlies to find an upgrade for their roster that they can control beyond this year, I think the Grizzlies have a package in terms of using their expiring contracts, maybe one of their young players that they can control for multiple years, and some combination of picks in the 2022 draft. I think you could put a package together that could attract a team to be able to give the Grizzlies a good veteran player who would be an upgrade to their team now into the future and would allow for the Grizzlies to have used Kyle Anderson and other assets in a very good way to find value for their roster beyond this year. And if the Grizzlies can't find that, at the very least, I would certainly look to extend Kyle Anderson. But this trade season, I think that the biggest focus to me when it comes to the Grizzlies, what are they going to do with Kyle Anderson? Can they potentially use Kyle Anderson as a way to find a veteran upgrade that can help the team now into the future by using Kyle Anderson in a trade package to go get that type of player? That's going to be a hard player to find, certainly. And I don't think the Grizzlies yet are in a position where you overpay for that type of player. But if the right deal's out there, if I were the Grizzlies, I'd certainly make every effort to explore how likely that deal is. And if at the end it's just not there, don't overpay. Don't do a deal just to do a deal. Simply extend Kyle Anderson. But that, to me, is the biggest narrative when it comes to the Grizzlies' trade deadline. What value can they get from Kyle Anderson to last beyond this year? And to a lesser extent, what will they do with the expiring contracts of Culver, Merrill, and Jones, along with their 2022 picks? How will those play into any potential moves for the Grizzlies to make the best moves possible to get as much value moving forward with those assets that are going to expire over the next 6 to 7 months? I don't think this results in an all-in type move, but with the amount of assets that the Grizzlies have, they can still make a move to upgrade this roster while also still having plenty of assets for an even bigger move in the future. It certainly will be something fun to watch, and we'll obviously continue to talk about it as we move closer to the trade deadline. But for right now, the Grizzlies' focus, obviously, is continuing to play very solid basketball. As I mentioned on Monday's show, the key for the Grizzlies moving forward is to get as many wins as possible over the next week before they run into a very tough part of the schedule at the end of December and obviously leading to the end of January. We'll discuss that in just a moment. But of course, as I mentioned, the one thing about the 2020 draft class and the one thing about the Grizzlies roster in general is it's great to have options. Taylor Jenkins has so many options that he potentially could utilize in whatever way he wants to be able to benefit the Grizzlies' success. Will you have the ability to do the exact same thing? Now, it's in one form. It's in the form of Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, a source of health, a source of energy, a source of great taste. Have it in the morning for breakfast, in the afternoon as a snack. But if you go to Built.com right now, you put in the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order from Built Bar, and it'll make your day even better. Again, go to Built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Also, we're going to remind you that obviously bowl season is right around the corner when it comes to college football. And also the home stretch of the NFL season is there. So there's plenty to enjoy wagering and betting on when it comes to football. If you're someone that enjoys wagering and betting, obviously betonline.ag is the place to go, the fastest and easiest place for you to bet on all the sports that you love. With the new and updated website, head to betonline.ag via your mobile device or on your computer and simply go to the website, and you'll, by putting in the promo code Locked On, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Whether it be football, pro or college, whether it be basketball, the NHL, USC, whatever you choose to bet on, BetOnline.ag is the best place for you to do that. Again, go to BetOnline.ag, put in the promo code Locked On, and get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So obviously on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, we will certainly discuss the Grizzlies game against the Portland Trailblazers and what is really coming together for the Grizzlies beyond their defense, beyond their scoring, and beyond their overall ability to consistently win. Is the simple fact that the Grizzlies are also doing a very good job of taking care of business against teams once again on the road that we saw them do last year. We'll discuss that and much more on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So the Memphis Grizzlies head into Portland tonight. And we all remember the last time the Grizzlies played at Portland. It was the fourth game of the year. The Grizzlies looked very good in the first half of the game, but unfortunately, things just fell off. The defense played very well. The defense was very good. Jaren Jackson Jr. was very good in that first half in the fourth game of the season against Portland, but they simply couldn't get it together. The Grizzlies absolutely got outmanned in the second half. They got outscored by 26 points, and unfortunately, the Grizzlies were not able to pull out a win, and it was the first of many blowout losses that the Grizzlies experienced over the first month of the season. But man, how things have certainly changed for both the Trailblazers and the Grizzlies since then. They're going into, you know, today, the Grizzlies are now 17-11, looking at fourth place in the Western Conference, 2.5 games up in the division, while Portland right now is simply fighting for the chance to maybe even make the play-in. Damian Lillard has certainly taken a bit of a step back in terms of his production this year. Obviously, CJ McCollum, though he played very well to begin the year, he unfortunately is out for an extended period of time due to a collapsed lung. Certainly hope, you know, he returns to as good a health as possible as soon as possible. But of course, beyond all that, so much turmoil going on with the Portland Trailblazers organization. There's just been a lot of different developments for Portland that have not necessarily been ideal. And unfortunately, it's resulted in one of the more consistent playoff teams over the past half decade in the Western Conference, now just simply fighting for a chance to perhaps even make the play-in. And as a result, the opportunity is here once again for the Grizzlies to get a needed victory against a team that they should beat. That may not make sense with how well matched both the Grizzlies and Portland Trailblazers have been. Because since Ja Morant came into the league, Portland with Dame has been one of the Grizzlies' more logical rivals, one of their bigger rivals in terms of two teams kind of being on the same level when it comes to overall talent, but also just some very competitive games. A couple of games in the bubble. You saw some very good games last year. Obviously, Portland and Memphis have had plenty of battles over the past few years. But as far as tonight goes, you've got two teams who are certainly trending in different directions. For the Grizzlies, for instance, over their past 10 games, they're top 10 in both offense and defense. As a matter of fact, the Grizzlies have the best defensive rating of any team over the past 10 games in the NBA. Portland, meanwhile, unfortunately, is trending in the wrong direction. 23rd in offensive rating, 29th in defensive rating. So you legitimately had the best defensive team in the NBA over the past few weeks coming against the team in Portland that's the second worst defense in the NBA. So the Grizzlies are certainly playing like the better team right now, and results certainly do indicate that to be the case. But of course, at the end of the day, you can never count out Portland when they have Damian Lillard. But the other important thing when it comes to the Grizzlies is that they're also, I think, going to have a bit tougher time tonight being able to find success in areas that have been where they've been able to create big advantages. For instance, Portland is the best team in the NBA at limiting opponents' offensive rebounds. The Grizzlies, especially with Steven Adams over the court, have done a very good job of finding advantages through second-chance points. That probably is going to be a bit tougher tonight with Joseph Nurkic and others being able to control the boards a bit better than one might expect. Also, Portland is not that bad when it comes to taking care of the basketball. So the Grizzlies may have a bit tougher time tonight letting steals result in points, though they, you know, now set a franchise record for most consecutive games with 10-plus steals. But the biggest thing of all to me tonight, besides simply controlling Damian Lillard, making sure he doesn't have a big game, the two other big factors are that Portland finds a lot of success shooting the three, but also they're last in the NBA in opponents' three-point field goal percentage. To me, this game is lining up very much like the game did last Saturday night against Houston. The Grizzlies, if they're the team that can obviously shoot better from three while also limiting Portland's production from three, that is going to go a long way in benefiting Memphis in being able to win this game. But not only that, you know, Dylan Brooks and others have done a pretty decent job defending Damian Lillard in recent years. The other big thing is you can't let a Norman Powell or an Anthony Simons or a Nasir Little or a Joseph Nurkic. The big thing also for the Grizzlies is not letting another player step up to have a season-best type game to support Lillard. So the Grizzlies certainly are trending in the right direction. They should be favored in this game. This is a game the Grizzlies can win. But in my opinion, they're going to have to rely more on the ability to shoot the three tonight than they are second chance points and steals, you know, like they usually do in most games, because of how, you know, good the Portland is at limiting second chance points, but how porous they are at defending the three. The Grizzlies really need to find their stroke from three. And if they can do that, I feel it's going to go a long way for them to be able to win this game. So shooting the three and defending the three well, as well as letting Dylan and others limit Dame, contain Dame as much as they can, but also not letting another trailblazer really step up to have a season-best type game. If the Grizzlies can do those three things, I feel they're in a good position to be able to win this game, and they're going to be able to then get another victory before they face Sacramento later on this week. It's certainly going to be fun to see another late night game for the Grizzlies. I know that was certainly something that was kind of fun at times, but also kind of less than ideal at times to start the season. But it's always pretty fun, you know, if you're a late night person like me, to see the Grizzlies play on the West Coast. Hopefully tonight they'll be able to play well enough to get a victory. It's been a lot of fun, as always, here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Check the show out at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Find me again at StatsSAC and here on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button below. Until tomorrow, pleasure talking with you as always. Go Grizzlies. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.